Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. And today we have our two most reprinted cartoonists of 2024, Jeff Kuturba and Chris Wyant. So, Chris, this is the number one most reprinted, most beloved by editors cartoon of the year, and it is yours. You've got the guys sitting in a bar at the Olympics, and one guy says to the other, "Do the Olympics get a gold medal for giving us something to focus on other than the election?" Tell us about this cartoon.
I think it was, there was a particularly stressful period, and the bad news had been rolling in for, how many years now? But it was nice to have the Olympics that, I think that I like the Olympics. I don't watch a ton of the Olympics, but when I do watch it, it's I think for that universal feeling of thinking of us as humanity and above ourselves. And that's a rare feeling these days. And it wasn't even the greatest Olympics, but it was really, really needed.
So you've got the Olympics, you've got happy younger people who are probably not the demographic that read newspapers, chatting with each other in a bar, and they're of mixed race and of mixed sex. I think you're checking all of the boxes for things that editors like.
That could be. That could be. And also it's amazing Eiffel Tower that I drew. That's so accurate. And
you put an Eiffel Tower in, and you put in some draft beer, Chris.
And a wine.
Okay.
One glass of wine. So,
a glass of wine. Chris, the thing you talk about, though, the humanity part of it, that's so true, though, because I think you do that so well. I try to do that.
As you've done here in your number two cartoon of the year, Jeff, you have the kid and his mom doing math, and the kid says, "That's a lot of math practicing for when I need help with homework." And mom says, "No, I'm trying to figure out how to pay for your school supplies." This is another one that touches on all those editor buttons.
Well, editor buttons, but ultimately, as in with Chris's cartoon, it's human buttons. It's what, I think it's not just a matter of editors wanting that, but I think it's reflecting readers, their desire to just take a pause from the inundation of all the stuff, political stuff, bad news, whatever. And every once in a while, you just want to feel connected to other people somehow in a real way, other than just through social media. And this is a tangible thing, I think, that readers react to, because it's reflective of what they're feeling and thinking. And at the end of the day, right? Like, yes, the political stuff, all that impacts people's lives in a big way sometimes, in a horrible way sometimes. But again, this is where real people are living in their daily lives each and every day.
Well, I emphasize the point about editors liking these because that's what we get a measurement of. I didn't select these cartoons. These are the cartoons that the editors downloaded from our site, which we track very closely, and that were, by extension, the most reprinted in newspapers during the year. So this is not a judgment on what our the best cartoons are, the cartoons that you should draw. But these are the cartoons that please me because they are responsive to supply and demand, and our editors like these cartoons.
And so, I think these editors are really wise for choosing these two cartoons as the top cartoons. I
think clearly. Editors always know best.
Very good. So let me tell you that Chris draws for the Boston Globe and the New Yorker Magazine. He's a Harvard Nieman Fellow, a prolific children's book illustrator, and an NCS Silver Ruben Award winner. Great to have you here, Chris. And Jeff,
thank you for having me.
Has drawn for over 30 years for the top newspaper in Nebraska. His cartoons flown around the world on Space Shuttle Discovery. He hosts a show about classical music on radio station KVNO in Omaha, and he has been struck by lightning.
Not all on the same day.
And he's fluent in French, which I find very impressive.
It is.
Oh, merci.
So this is the number three cartoon, Chris. You have the pollster. He says, "Did you know that according to recent polls, the majority of people shouldn't pay attention to polls?"
That's circular reasoning. This scene in the caption.
Well, this was a year where the pollsters really got things wrong.
Surprise, again.
They seem to get it wrong more than they get it right.
They do. I think there's all of us would like them to get off of the polling. It's a terrible crutch. I mean, when they get into the nitty gritty, they were right, but they're just off, and it leads the paper. But it also goes back to actually Jeff's cartoon in the last one, which is these are kitchen table issues. Was the election in the end, even against all logic and some people's own safety, they voted for kitchen table issues, and so that's where we are.
I also agree that people who disagree with me are going against all logic.
This clearly.
Okay, Jeff, here you are at number four. And you have the guy in the AI psychiatrist's office, and he says, "Elon Musk says AI will take all our jobs, but we can still do a job as a hobby. And the AI psychiatrist says, oh, that's cute.
I love drawing robots. You know, if one day the president were a robot, I would just draw him every day. No, there's something, I don't know, I love it. So, I love drawing robots.
AI is this big evil thing that's looming over us with our imposed doom.
True. It's a tool, and it does. There is an aspect of not goodness about AI, certainly, and I have concerns. We've done different podcasts about that on that topic a few times. Legitimate concerns. But it's also a tool, and it's like anything. I mean, the internet is amazing, but it's also really horrific.
This is number 5 by Rick McKee. It's Charlie Brown Christmas Tree. It says, peace on earth on the one ornament. And it's not such a bad little tree, really. Maybe it just needs a little love, says Linus Van Pelt. This is one of the most drawn metaphors, I think, the Charlie Brown Christmas tree every year.
Is it? I feel like I haven't seen this one in a while.
Well, we have a bunch of them every year, and they are always among the most popular.
For Christmas.
I would have guessed that, I see. I would have guessed that overall, though, the Lucy pulling away the football as Charlie Brown is about ready to kick it would be the most riffed on tune.
Yeah, for the Charlie Brown, yeah.
You know, I haven't tracked this data. So
but Rick, that is a beautiful drawing from Rick.
It actually is.
Honestly, way better drawn than the original cartoon animated shows. But that's a drawing.
It really is. It's very intimate. It really pulls you in. There's something about the way he was able, and also his color sense was great. So
I just did a podcast that was all Christmas cartoons by Rick McKee, because he just really excels at Christmas. Each of you have your areas in which you excel. So here is R.J. Mattson with the Dems and the Republicans looking at the blank crystal ball, a pre-election cartoon. And Jeff, here you are again, back in the psychiatrist's couch. And the psychiatrist says, let's see if I'm hearing you correctly. As a groundhog, climate change is impeding your ability to predict the weather. And the groundhog says, am I having an existential crisis?
Oh, man. That's good. That's some impressive voicing.
Nice groundhog, Gerald.
Oh, thank you.
Voice talent in the future. When we take this to network, we'll consider you for the groundhog.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I notice that both of you guys are very responsive to holidays. And when a holiday is coming up, those are the only cartoons that get reprinted.
Terrible. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear all of our cartoons. I do like this. This is a great gag. And I also like that this therapist has 2 degrees, Jeff. The other one had 1 degree. This is a 2 degree. So the groundhog, you know, is a little bit harder to shrink.
It's all 2 degrees of separation from a real psychiatrist.
All right. Here's Adam Ziglis, where the guy in the winter says, I can't wait to be outside all summer. And the guy in the summer says, oh, summer.
That's true.
I like the little lines coming out of the air conditioner. You know, it reminds me, I don't know if you guys are old enough, but like Sears Roebuck, when I was a kid, you go to Sears and they'd have like a window unit air conditioner on display. And they'd have like strings of like aluminum foil to show you that it's blowing air.
Yeah. They used to tie like plastic ribbons on it too to have it like, you know, red, white, and blue. In case you couldn't figure out what was going on. I wonder if he drew those in like after, or were those part of the original design? Like, you know, I need more motion there. So what's going on?
Yeah.
It's a good split screen.
Yeah,
it is. And I used to joke that if Hallmark could be an editorial cartoonist, those would be the most popular editorial cartoons. But it's also true of the weather. You know, if a cartoonist drew nothing but weather, that would be very popular.
It is. Which is kind of deadline fallback. In case of emergency.
That's kind of sad. I don't like cartoons about the weather.
It's the only thing that grocery store cashiers are allowed to discuss with customers is the weather.
Is that true?
Is that a rule somewhere?
I trained in a grocery store many, many, many years ago, and that was the general idea. So, but I'll suggest this to anyone watching this. Next time you're at the grocery store, instead of just having the casual, hey, how you doing? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Ask a really quirky question and you will see that cashier's face light up. Like, who's the tallest customer you've ever had? Or who had the weirdest hat? And they have stories.
Yeah, I worked at AMP as part of the Meat Cutters Union, which went on strike the first day after I joined, and so I had 1 day of work and then I went on strike. But they didn't train us, and that may be why. I didn't know it. They didn't tell us. I also got fired from that job, so maybe I didn't get the proper training.
This is not good. They go on strike, and then you get fired. Wow.
I just amended your bio to add the Meat Packers Union. Yes.
Now you know why I'm a cartoonist.
All right. Dave Wamond has the parents watching the big TV and the kid's eyes on his phone. And mom says, I don't get these kids today spending all day staring at their little screens.
It's legit.
I love that drawing. I love that drawing that Dave sent with the screen, because had I done this cartoon, I would have probably just drawn, you know, a generic looking TV anchor and felt the need to make up some false name or something. And he's just kind of blurred it out in a very nice way. And that's wonderful.
It just makes your eye go to the part with the black outlines and not pay attention to the screen.
Yeah. Yep. Peripherally, you pick up on it. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah, because it's a good distraction.
So, Jeff, here you are again. Here is Lady Liberty, and she's sitting at the table writing as graduation takes place during campus protests. Some are still taking tests, and she's writing, defines free speech. It's not always a simple answer. Let me explain.
Complex, but, you know, nuance is often lost in our culture, and civil discourse is often not there. And I long for those days of yesteryear when you could have these complex conversations and the nuance of a point about, say, free speech. But I digress.
Yeah.
I was happy with a book bag or a backpack, I guess. I don't know why they put stars on it, though. That's weird. Well,
that's a great caption for a newspaper, like all the news that's fit to print. All those great conversations we used to have that were so complex that we can't have anymore.
Yeah.
It's a little long, but I like it, Daryl. I like it. And then and then like they used to do at the end of a headline, put a little period.
Right. Very good.
That's a good cartoon.
So here is Dave Wamond, and he's got the kid in math class saying to the teacher,
I refuse to answer, Mrs. Shinkletooth. Don't you think we already have too much division in this country?
I liked that cartoon.
Yeah, solid gag. Makes its point. I also like that she has the side eye that the dog had in last. There's a lot of side eye.
Yeah, good catch.
I'm a sucker for side eye.
Okay, Chris, here you are again.
It's a nice planet, but politically, it's nothing but reruns.
That night sky should have been darker by a lot. I don't know why it's so fair. But, you know.
It was cloudy? Was it fog?
Yeah.
Space
I'm not
fog.
Sure what happened there. Conscious of that, right? It's very surprisingly gray. But yeah.
Chris, are you mostly drawing digitally or what?
No. I do everything actually, traditionally, and then I do my color obviously digitally, but yeah, I just like it. I don't know why. I think it slows me down.
It gives you original art.
And it gives me original art. That is true.
You know, the comic book guys make most of their income selling their original art and have resisted doing it electronically. I wish that editorial cartoonists could say that they sell lots of originals, but we should.
We go to museums. That's where we go.
Here's the problem with that, Daryl, and Chris, you guys might have experienced this, is that, I mean, I do sell them occasionally, but a lot of times the cartoons, especially if it's highly political, that readers love, it's a critical cartoon about so-and-so, they're like, oh, that's a great cartoon, but they don't want to hang that on the wall and be reminded of that politician they don't like. You know, so they don't, a lot of times they won't make the connection that who cares? Like if I had a chance to get a Pat Oliphant original, I don't care who it's about. It's an original drawing, you know, that's of beauty and value. But
yeah, no, that is true. I think it's just because it's, you know, it's something hot, even with the ones I have on my wall. It's like, you know, it's they're tough subjects sitting around staring at you day after day.
Yeah. Here you are again, Jeff, and you've got the couple in the coffee house, and she says,
this isn't going to work out. I see a booming economy, but you're still Mr. Inflation.
That's good.
I love couple breakup cartoons. And I've done that before. I love it because it's, I don't know why, it's like telling a little micro story. There's this couple with this backstory, this history. Right. You drop in on this moment. And I used one of my favorite coffee shops locally as a visual, because I feel like that makes it even feels more real and more local. And now when I go to that coffee shop and I see other couples sitting there, I think, oh, are they breaking up?
Do you see two checks? Do you see one?
I hadn't noticed that you do a lot of breakup cartoons.
Oh, I'm not saying that I actually have done that. I've done it before, but like, just, I love that contrast, I guess, you know, Break telling his relationship story.
And psychiatrist cartoons.
Ooh, I need to do couples therapy cartoons next.
That's a rich one. That's a good.
There we go.
Okay, here's Gary McCoy, and he's got husband coming into wife who's cutting a big sausage, which I'm not sure if that's a metaphor. And he says, "There, I've already completed my list of New Year's resolutions that I plan to break."
It's honest. It's true.
Yep. Okay. There's two jars of something. I'm looking at the frame, the frame on the wall, as I seem to keep doing, looking at the backgrounds. I'm like, why didn't you put a frame on that? I wonder. Like, I love the choices that, like, looking at, you know, everybody does it, makes these choices throughout, and you go, that's interesting. Why'd you do that? Good gag.
Okay, Jeff, here you are again. And even more than a solar storm, people from across the political spectrum gazing up in unison. This is essentially a weather cartoon.
Yeah, the night sky thing. I mean, that was just one of those things. I'm sure you guys saw, you know, your Facebook page just inundated with photos from the Northern Lights, but it was really cool. And it was wonderful and beautiful to see people whom I know are on different sides of the political spectrum, finding this thing, this common thing that they could agree on was beautiful. And I don't know if either of you went out to look. I certainly did.
I saw it here. And then we're in the New York City area, and I look up and the skies are glowing pink. So, I instantly think, what kind of attack was that? And then I realize, no, it's the Northern Lights we're seeing all the way down here. And even that little tiny bit was phenomenal.
You got it in Omaha, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, family who live south, like Florida, even caught a glimpse a little bit. What you don't know is that those aren't stars in the background. Those are the drones of New Jersey, but that's a whole other story.
Okay, very good.
Hold on. Before you go to the next, the enormous props on being able to draw this, to paint this. This is absolutely gorgeous. And
oh, thanks.
Anyone who does, there's no one who does anything that has to do with things that are non-terrestrial better than you when it comes to space. And you draw the, really, your love of that comes through on every cartoon beautifully.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Thank you.
So here's Bob Englehart, the guy's watching TV with his doggy and his kitty. And the TV says, "We interrupt the political advertising for our regularly scheduled program." So a lot of political ads this year.
There were.
And he's got dogs and cats. I mean,
right.
He's covering the rest of it. I love it.
It's bipartisan. It's a bipartisan cartoon.
Bipedicine.
No. Nice.
I also draw the back of the television so that I don't have to draw what's on it.
You know, when TVs, when flat screens first came in, I was really disappointed. Growing up, my dad repaired TVs, and I would help him carry these big, giant console TVs. But there was something beautiful about drawing the back of a TV. Glowing with the big boxy thing. And then, like, flat screens. Same thing with phones. I was kind of panicked. I don't know about you guys. When, you know, mobile phones came in, I was like, how am I going to show people talking to a rectangle?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Not so interesting.
There's actually good stuff on the back of a flat screen. You know, there's texture and some, you know, some framing issues there that I always like to put in. But
exactly.
It's not like the tubes. I love the tubes.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
So here's John Darko. Two astronauts on the ISS may be stranded until February. And they're looking out the window saying, that's okay. We're in no hurry to get back before the election.
This is one of those that I was like, oh, wish I'd thought of that because I could have drawn space.
Right.
It's a good idea.
This is a fun composition that I'm not used to seeing in a political cartoon. And it all points to their heads in the window. And it's, I think it's really cute.
He got a lot in there. I can see how much, right? I mean, he's got titling, he's got labeling, and he's got a caption and the earth. He had to squeeze in there somehow.
Yeah. I love the lettering and the white lettering at that. And if I'd done this, I would have probably just done a little box in the top left-hand corner. But I love the placement of it. And to your point, Daryl, it's different. And he's dropped that lettering in between the shape of the space station. Doesn't have to show the whole thing. Just gives you enough. Yeah.
It's hard to get.
And it's the golden section. He could have drawn it in the Renaissance. Okay, here's another John Darko.
He burned as a heretic.
Cleopatra was a secret astronaut. Come on.
Going to jail with Galileo. Here is John Darko, and he's got Santa on his North Pole Acme drone sleigh saying, "Boy, you try to keep up with the times, and all I do is catch grief." I think he's flying up New Jersey.
That's Jersey, yeah, for sure.
Nice.
It is nice.
Almost, that drawing too, almost a little bit of an impressionist Monet kind of thing going on there with a little line work in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he draws with colored pencils on paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, does he? Okay. Well, kudos. Very nice. Yeah.
All right. Here we have Mitch McConnell, and he is stepping into the storm's cellar away from the GOP tornado, saying,
"It's time for me to step down."
He's jumping out of the storm.
Gonna miss, not him, but I'm gonna miss drawing him.
So, Chris, here you are again with a nice autumn cartoon. Why leaves change color in the fall, and the orange leaf says, "What do you mean you're still undecided?" That's great.
Yeah. And I love all the other little leaf faces in the background. But I, Chris, when I first saw this one, my heart went out to the undecided leaf. I really did. I just felt such empathy for it.
Yeah, just because we're once again yelling at them, which is probably what ended up losing the election.
Well, they were annoying.
But seriously, you gotta be able to yell that.
Okay, here is Dave Granlund, and he's drawing the people on vacation looking at the direction signs, which say that way, shark attacks, beach bacteria, rip currents, wildfires, landslide, drought, high winds, and the other direction, road work, no lifeguards, bison attacks, cyclones, flash floods, heat wave, and hailstorms.
That is that's pretty much a social media feed.
Yeah. It is. And it's a weather card.
By title, this is pretty much everything we see.
Good. When did the bison attacks happen? I missed that.
Were there bison attacks?
It keeps going.
Maybe easy.
I just saw one. Yeah. I literally just saw one come up on my feed yesterday.
Seriously? Yeah. Seriously?
People go right up to the bison, and then they stand there and they pose. And like, it's a big bison. Guess what's going to happen next?
Okay, Dave Granlund with another one. Tempting. It's that crazy house trap.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good solid John.
And another John Darko. He saw his shadow. 6 more weeks of stupid politics. I can't go wrong. This is a Groundhog Day cartoon, and a nice one.
Good groundhog.
That is a good groundhog. Here's Gary McCoy again with the same couple, and the man comes in and says, "I finished the seating list for Thanksgiving," she says. "What do you have?" he says. "We've got the kids' table, the MAGA table, the never Trumpers, and Grandma Jane, who thinks this country was better before store-bought pie crusts."
There are those who feel very strongly about their pie crust.
Cartoons can be funnier when they're specific.
That's always funny.
Now I want pie.
So, Chris, here you've got the devil talking to his associate devil, and he says, "Remember, if they've been really bad, we make them watch 24-hour election coverage."
No. Sorry. Yeah, there you go. That's all I'll say on that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But he's got a nice vest. That's the best I think I can say about that. That's all I'm going to say.
And the other one's shirtless. I didn't notice the little devil in the background the first time I saw it when it came out. But the
yeah, that's for the editors.
Those devils.
So Jeff, here is your self-portrait cartoon. And your sweetheart says, "Since when does the news do reruns?" Up next, Trump versus Biden.
I'm bummed they didn't do a better job with. Well, I'm just bummed they didn't do a better job with the back of that TV.
That's, you know, now we talked about that right now.
I know. Now, yeah.
Is that your doggy? Well,
it's very possible that is Finn, the Australian, not Australian Shepherd, that's the old dog, Italian Greyhound Chihuahua mix.
Huh.
Interesting mix. High energy.
Does it? Does he like run really fast, but just for like a foot? Like, I mean, how does that, although.
Something like that, yeah.
It's still Latin-based languages, so that's good for both sides.
So this is your girlfriend.
He doesn't understand French.
Your girlfriend Christine, and what's the doggie's name?
Finn. Finn.
Finn.
Good name.
Here's John Darko again. "Did you take the phone away because my societal peer pressure, stress, and isolation?" "No, mine." Here's Guy Parsons. "Good news. I think we've come up with a diagnosis in your price range."
That's great.
It's a good gig.
It is good.
That would have been a great New Yorker cartoon too.
I did one like that. That's what I was thinking. I was going to say I did one. I think it was my caption was good news. It's something you can afford. It's like
mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's Joe Biden and he's rowing his little boat. He needs a bigger boat with the sharks and he says, "I'm sure they're just friendly dolphins."
Oh, Joe. Good Joe.
Jeff, here you are again. The guy who voted is going upstairs talking to his wife and he says, "Now that's done, I'm taking a nap. Don't wake me until we have a clear winner."
Well, I did that before the election with the idea, you know, it's one of these things where the election is just a few days away and you're thinking, well, there's not much. What am I going to draw? Oh, well, everybody is saying it's probably going to be close. We may not know right away before it's decided. So I thought, okay, here's one kind of in advance that'll hold. Turns out really didn't.
The news was all about how it's going to be too close to call and the lawyers were out and already filing their suits. And everybody expected this. I did a podcast on too close to call just before the election that was entirely wrong. So here's Randy Enos. And the two old ladies are sitting there talking to each other. The first one says, "Do you ever hear from your great grandchildren?" And she says, "Oh, yes. They butt dial me every once in a while."
I'm old school enough. I remember a time early in my newspaper career where my editor would not allow me to use the word butt in that context. Not that there was butt dialing before mobile phones, but kind of hard to butt dial from a rotary. It's impossible.
It's much slower.
Things have evolved. We have lots of butts in the cartoons now. I remember Steve Kelly got fired from the San Diego Union Tribune for drawing a plumber's crack showing.
Really? Wow, I don't remember that. Okay, wow. Yeah, I do.
Did he not have an editor who approved it?
Well, not the editor who fired him.
That should run to the editor who approved it.
I think ultimately it's the plumber's fault. Pull up your jeans.
So here's Rick McKee again, and you've got the Democrats and the Republicans facing off over the turkey. And the cooked turkey says, "I thought we agreed not to talk politics."
That's good. That's a nice reinvention of that theme.
Yeah.
That seems to be a theme that editors love. Here is Gary McCoy again with Santa in the chimney, and he's saying to the elf, "I'm stuck. I'm going into my bag and get some Ozempic." And the elf says,
"Kind of late for that, boss."
Solid. Solid gig.
Yep.
Gotta love that Ozempic. And here's John Darko again. Big Dance, Biden versus Trump. It's a March Madness cartoon, and the man says, "This is why I don't fill out brackets. Always the same ones, and nobody I like." Trump versus Biden.
I like the depth he's put on his TV. Now I'm just looking at TVs.
It's a good-looking TV.
There's got depth on there, so which is true. It does. It's got the fun stand. I'm just going to look at TVs now and comment on that if that's okay.
Here's Dave Granlin with border signs subject to change. "Do not enter" is the new border sign as Trump is reelected.
That's good. You can use that again.
That is the 35th most popular cartoon of 2024, and that is all we've got, gentlemen.
Fantastic. It's good.
Awesome.
Good end.
Okay. Well, hey, congratulations on being the most printed and most popular in newspapers cartoonists of 2024. We do have competing syndicates, but I would say you are the most popular of all the cartoonists in 2024.
Well, that's very sweet to say. Jeff, for sure.
Thank you.
He gets my
vote. Thank you.
Okay, very good. I love you guys.
Okay. All right, we'll see you on the therapist couch with a really nice TV.
Very good. Remember to subscribe to the Kegelcast wherever you're watching or listening today. Our Kegelcast is available in both video and audio versions. So if you don't see the cartoons, go to Kegel.com or Apple Podcasts or Rumble or YouTube or Spotify or Kegelcast.com to see the cartoons and the video podcast. And gentlemen, I quite enjoyed having you here today. And thank you again.
Loved it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks. See you later next time.